Now at that supper, when Judas had finally made up his mind to betray the Lord, as the disciples were sharing dinner with Jesus and Judas went off to set in process the betrayal, the Bible says the darkness fell over the earth. Now darkness is the symbol of evil. And the Bible gives us that detail about the darkness because it wants us to feel the agony, to assume that it has all gone in the wrong direction, that everything is crumbling and falling apart. The Bible wants us to feel the heavy darkness because that is what life so often feels like. All too frequently, we live in the darkness of despair. Darkness falls. It feels like everything is falling apart, as if our life was crumbling. There is no hope. Darkness has covered the earth. All of us, no matter how brave you are or what good front you put on it, all of us visit that dark place of despair from time to time. Some of us go there more frequently than others, but we all go there. Sometimes. The fact is that some of you may be in that dark place of despair even as I speak to you this morning. But into that prevailing darkness, Jesus speaks words of hope. You ready? From the very text which Lil read to you, Jesus says the first word of hope. Now, it's really complicated to translate the word. It means right now. At this very moment, when the whole earth is covered in darkness and there seems to be no hope and no way out, right now, in this moment of despair, right now, at this very moment in time, right now, he says the Son and the Father. Even in the midst of the darkness, Jesus remains our Savior. He is still the hope of the world. In him, no matter what else may fall apart, our salvation remains secure. We cannot be plucked from the Master's hand. Satan is not strong in us to snatch us away. Even in the darkness, our salvation remains secure. And catch this one, God the Father still sits on his throne in heaven. Despite the presence of darkness, despite our despair, right now, nothing has changed. Jesus remains our Savior, praise his name, and God the Father still sits on his throne. And right now, God the Father and God the Son are being glorified. The Greek word is doxē. It means that even in the darkness which clouds our lives and becomes so opaque that we cannot see, even in the darkness, our Father and his Son are lifted up in glory. What we see does not change the reality. What we believe determines truth. Above our darkness, God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, are glorified. Even now, they are glorified. And says Jesus in the text before you, they will be glorified. Now, the only thing that changed was the tense of the verb. It moves from the present tense to the durative future tense. God and Jesus are being glorified right now, despite the present darkness, which may seem to overcome you or even to be overcoming the entire world in which we live. But though darkness floods the world, though evil may seem to prevail everywhere, it is not so. God and Jesus will be glorified above it all forever and ever. Amen. And catch this. It began at once. Even at the moment of his betrayal, when darkness covered the whole earth, events had been set in place which could not be altered. They could not be changed by the forces of evil and the present darkness. They would bring the immediate glorification of the Father and the Son. It was decreed. It could not be stopped. God the Father and God the Son were being glorified at once. So, no matter what you face, no matter how dark the darkness or how great the despair, do not give in. God's plan is being accomplished. Despite the darkness which you face or which covers the world in which we live, do not give in to despair. But they taught me when I was doing counseling that you always listen very carefully to what follows the but. See, at the beginning of the story, it may not seem to be so. At the beginning of the thing, when you begin to deal with the problem, when it starts to overwhelm you, you may actually think that the darkness is going to prevail. At the beginning, it may not look like much. Jesus said, as they're all sitting there wondering about what's going on as darkness is covering the earth, Jesus says, "Children, I will be with you only for a little while." Now, Jesus knew that he was about to return to the Father. His ministry here on earth was almost over. In the next several chapters of the Gospel of John, Jesus is going to take great pains to explain all that is going to happen to his disciples. But this proclamation, "Children, I'll only be with you for a little while longer," probably didn't sound like good news that night at the table. Why would the disciples want Jesus to leave them. If the process of being glorified meant that Jesus must go away from them, if this was God's plan for them, for Jesus to go away, it must have seemed as if their fears were realized. The darkness was growing even darker. It was getting deep when Jesus said to them that he was going away. And then Jesus laid down a principle that would get them through their present darkness. He said, love one another as I have loved you. See, he was going away. It was going to be a while before the Holy Spirit came, for those of you who know that that's what he's going to promise. So they were going to go through a time when it was going to look really bad. And during that time, they would need each other. They would have to learn to lean on each other to get through what they were about to face. They would look at the strength they found in loving each other. And through that love of their brothers, they would actually grow closer to Jesus. And their love, the love between them, would become a sign to all of the other people in the world who were experiencing darkness and despair. It would become a sign to them that they were devoted to Jesus. They needed to love each other. When he left them as part of the process of his glorification, it would seem hard. The darkness would be intense. But their love for each other would be their strength, even in the darkness. But to Peter, don't you love Peter? To Peter, Jesus leaving them was not good. And so, like some of us, he wanted to know the plan. All of the details, please. The why, the when, the where, and the haunting question, why can't I come with you too? See, for Peter, the darkness of Jesus leaving was the reality. So much so that he missed the hope Jesus was offering. You can't come now, Jesus said, but you will follow me later. There will come a time, folks, when the fulfillment of God's plan leads to the reality proclaimed in the book of Romans. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. But sometimes the darkness seems more real to us than does the promise. Sometimes it's just hard for us to hold on to God's plan and to trust that no matter what we face in life, that plan must bring us good because God has said so. And that's where Peter was. He could not believe that what he could not see would prove true over what he saw. He said to Jesus, "Lord, I'll buy it. I will lay down my life for you if you'll take me with you now." He actually believed that he was strong enough to overcome the present darkness alone. He thought that he could forge a plan for himself that would be better than the plan God had already written for him. And he thought he could do it all alone. And dear Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, really? You think you got a better plan, Peter? You think you can forge your own way to happiness? You think that you, puny little Peter, can overcome the darkness alone?" "Impossible," Jesus said. See, folks, you can't. I can't. Peter couldn't. But God can. So trust God.